Today is Synod Sunday, and we are very happy to have our speaker, Reverend Ong Chee Hong. Let's welcome him. He's from Tong Chai English Presbyterian Church. Reverend Ong.
Good morning, church. To send greeting to you from Tong Chai English Presbyterian Church. This is a Synod Sunday, and we are reminded that we, through this pulpit exchange, we are reminded that we are from a bigger family, from a Synod, we are a big family, and the Synod, we have a smaller family of a Chinese Presbytery and an English Presbytery. Then within English Presbytery, we have another smaller family of 15 churches, and we are all part of this. And each individual church are made out of smaller units of families and individual. And that's why the theme of strengthening family is so important. Yeah, so Reverend Shirmao was thinking about this theme and thinking of who to send to PSPC. So he thought he must send someone who is theologically very astute to come to PSPC. So he called a pastor. But the pastor says, sorry, Shirmao, I'm very busy, I can't come. So Reverend Shirmao thinks, okay, if someone who is theologically astute cannot come to PSPC, then I better send someone funny. So at least he can entertain the congregation. So he called the pastor, and the pastor says, oh, sorry, I have an engagement that morning, I can't come. So Reverend Shirmao was a bit nervous, so he thinks, if I can't get someone who is theologically astute, I can't get someone who is funny, at least I must get someone who is handsome. So he called a handsome pastor, and handsome pastor says, sorry, I'm really very busy, I can't come. So finally, Reverend Shirmao called me. Yeah. And I happened to be on a speaker phone when he called me. So Reverend Shirmao told me and says, Chiong, I don't care, by hook or by crook, you better go to PSPC to preach. And because I'm on speakerphone, my wife is beside me. So my wife turned and she whispered to me and she said this. She said, dear, it is very rude to reject someone four times in a row. So that's why I'm here today. You know it's a joke. Yeah, because this is a very important theme about family, you know. And we ask ourselves, what is the secret to a successful and strong family in a godly sense? And the secret to a successful and strong family, I think we can find it in Psalms 1-8 today. That's why we are looking at it today. But before we look at it, shall we pray together and ask God for help? Father, we thank you for giving us your eternal word. We pray that God, as this morning we open up Psalm 1-8, you open up our mind to understand your word. And may your spirit so graciously open up our hearts, that our hearts may receive your word. And may none of these words remain in our head as head knowledge, but may you so graciously distill these truths into our hearts as convictions. We can't do this for ourselves, Lord. We need your help. Hear us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So to set up a family is a difficult thing, but it's a gracious gift from God. If you take a look just by your Bible, just take a look a bit backward in Psalms 127, it reminds us as children are gifts of God in 127 verse 3. So because it is a gift of God, we should never demand for it, neither should we reject it. You know, in fact, verse 4, 127 verse 4 says that we will be blessed with many of them, many children, you know. And so having a family, setting up a family is a privilege and is a gift from God. You know, but having a family or to set up a family is not just having BTOs and having many children running around. And setting up a family, we are also thinking about how can we be successful and strong in the godly sense. You know, to what's the secret behind being successful and a godly family which is strong. So I guess we can take a look at 1 to 8, verse 1 to 4. And I title this as a secret to the successful and strong family. So I think Psalm 1 to 8 paints for us a very nice picture of a strong and successful family. You know, and you take a look at verse 3, at least he says about the wife. He says, the wife will be like a fruitful vine. That is a very strange description of a wife. So after much research, I found this is maybe that's how it looks like. Yeah, but it's a very strange way of looking at a very fruitful vine, you know, for the wife. Well, of course, we don't think that this is how the Psalmists are looking at the wives and the mothers. You know, so I think this is, we are thankful that the scripture allowed us to interpret the scriptures. This is a core values in our Reformed theology, that's in Sola Scriptura, that scripture must interpret scripture. So I think this is what he's trying to say here. If you take a look at Ezekiel chapter 19, you don't have to turn to it, you can refer it after this. Well, he's talking about this mother or the wife, or the mother who is having such a robust and rich resource to produce strong and dependable offspring or the branches. Then it also shows a picture that the children can actually draw this wisdom, godly counsel from this mother. So she spent time and effort to nurture her children within the home. Can you see verse 3 says, within the home itself. So it's like reflected in the New Testament from the passage of Titus chapter 2. And it says that the older woman teach a younger woman to love their husbands and children and to be of self-control, pure, and work at home or busy at home. You know, so it's like you have this picture of the mother taking our children, and she's such a strong resource for the children to draw wisdom from and godly counsel from. You know, then how does besides having a very good mother, how does a strong and successful family look like with their children? You know, what kind of children do they have? Take a look at the verse, later part of verse 3 says, the children are like olive's plant, or olive tree. You know, and in the context of Psalms, it gives us some idea of how the olive tree looked like. So in Psalms 52, it says, this olive tree or olive plant are not easily uprooted or torn apart or snatched away. So I'm saying that these children are rooted. Sorry for the font, it's a bit too big. It runs a bit. So they are rooted in God's family. They are rooted in their faith, and they are not easily removed or leave their faith. So this is a very beautiful picture, and it says that they are closely knitted together around the table. Take a look at the second part of this last part of verse 3. It says, around the table. So they are like living in harmony with one another, the children. They are not fighting one another, and also living in harmony with the parents. So you paint this picture, you see this picture of the mother and the children together. No, so we have to answer the question, what is the secret to a successful and strong godly family? So I'd like to suggest to you the structure of the first four verses give us a clue to this. So the structure looks a bit like a sandwich. It began with the top bread, someone who fears the Lord, he's blessed, and end off the same way. So the man who fears the Lord is thus blessed. You know, so it seems that the secret to this is to fear God, the fear of the Lord, as demonstrated by the head of the family. You know, so I think this is the secret to a successful and strong godly family. Someone who fear God, demonstrated by the head of family and distilled to the rest of the family here. You know, we are not talking about a father being a Bible encyclopedia. You know, they don't walk around knowing every verse and all this. No, this is not what it means to fear the Lord. You know, neither is he someone who solves all the problems at home, you know, from the bursting pipes to flower pots to frying insects or lizards at home, or you're able to solve everything. No. This is not what it means. No, he demonstrates this key of bringing blessedness, which is the fear of the Lord. So we ask ourselves, what is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? Well, to understand this, we must understand the fear of the Lord is not some kind of irrational fear or feel threatened by a mean God. No, that's not what it means. Okay, so we take a look at a few verses within the context of Psalms itself. The fear of the Lord, I put here, is to take God's word seriously. Psalms 112, verse 1. And it says here, he says, someone who delights in God's word. So he encountered God personally through his word. That's why he delights in God's word. Second, Psalms 111, verse 10. I'm so sorry about the... someone who, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It means that this person begins to see the world, the people around in this world, the brokenness of this world, and looking at God's people from God's perspective, from God's lens. And thirdly, and he says, they begin to walk in his way. Can you see, second part of verse 1, he says, who walks in his ways. And Psalms 119, verse 1 to 3, talk about people who obediently follow God, I mean, follow him diligently. You know, he walk in God's path. So, let me sum up these three. So, what it means is the fear of God is having this loving encounter with the living God, because he delights in God through his word. And seeing God's word through God's lens, and therefore are confident that they are blessed when they follow him diligently. They are confident. In fact, the fear of God is not the lack of confidence. In fact, the fear of God is full of confidence. So, for example, you are walking in the city like this, and you are totally lost, and you are probably lost with a group of Singaporeans in the tour, and you look out for road signs, but all the road signs are foreign language, for example. Yeah, or this. Some of you look at these Chinese words, you're like, oh, gone. I don't know what to do. You know, but some of you will be like, Chinese is nothing to me. How about this? You know, so, but some of you like K-pop. So it's okay because you recognize some of these words. But how about this? Yeah, then you're like, oh, okay, what is this? Yeah, so then these are the only route signs that are available. You know, and you are lost. And you need to get back to your hotel quick. So what should you do? There comes a local English-speaking person who happens to be a policeman. And the police officer says, well, what happened? Can I help you? You say, oh, I need to get back to this hotel. And this policeman will say, oh, right, so you go this way, you take a left turn, 300 meters later, you turn left and cross the road, there's your hotel. Well, because he's a local and he's a policeman, you trust his direction and you walk confidently back to your hotel. You know, so trusting God, fearing God is something like this. You know, you trust, like trusting this local police who knows the way, and you can walk confidently back to your hotel. And fearing God is you trust that he knows better. So you are looking at his world through his lens. You know, and you take his word so seriously, so you will follow his direction. And therefore, you can walk confidently here on earth until you reach your final home. You know, so therefore, I'd like to suggest to you that the secret to a successful and a strong godly family is the head of a family or head of the household demonstrate this fear of God, which is taking God's word seriously. You know, so how does the fear of the Lord look like at home? How does such confidence been seen in the Sami's life. So I'm going to give you some possible way that how it look like when you have your kid, and your kid is taking PSLE, and maybe Monday is the paper, and your kid came to you and says, "Dad, I'm going to skip church today because tomorrow I have an important paper in PSLE." Yeah. You know, and moreover, you see, when I come to church, my friend have extra 3 hours to study at home. You know, but my 3 hours are spent in church. So how does a confident father who fears God and takes God's word seriously look like? Well, he would not be, "Oh yeah, sure, yeah, 3 hours, that's very important. Yeah, yes, let's skip together." You know, no, I don't think so. I think a confident father who walks confidently in this world, in God's world, will say this. He says, "Son, you have been diligent throughout the whole week preparing for this paper. You should trust God and take Sabbath seriously." You know, for remember, 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Lord reminds Eli that anyone who honors him, God honors. You know, so you remind him because you are confident in the word of God. Then moreover, you may just turn to your son and say, "Well, son, PSLE is only one of the hurdle in life. And there are a lot more to come. You know, how about O-level, A-level, your army, your uni, and your child and all this. No, you have a lot more hurdles to cross. And if God, who can help us to cross our greatest and the finest hurdle, which is the final judgment before the great white throne, if he can help us to cross that hurdle through the life and death and resurrection of his son who faced that judgment for us on the cross, will he not help us cross all the other hurdles in life? So son, trust in God." Yeah, so this, I think that's how a father who is confident in the word of God walk and lead his family. Or when you are of an old age and you contracted diseases that are really deadly, like cancers and all, and the people around you, the loved ones, are so worried, some of them are at a loss, and some of them lose courage. But you smile at them, you hold their hands, and you tell them, "Well, even though I walk through the valley or the shadow of death, my Shepherd King will lead me on. So don't worry." You know, we all know where this phrase comes from. And you tell your son and you tell your loved one around you, he says, "Well, don't worry. I will see him face to face after this. You know, and then I will be more alive than you. This is what his word assures me." So you assure your loved one with these words. You know, because the fear of God is really having a loving encounter with this God through his word. You delight in it. And you begin to see the world from his lens, including sickness, including exams, including armies, anything. And you are confident that you can walk this life because you follow him. This is the fear of God. And this is a secret to a successful and a strong godly family. I don't know about you, but I suspect you are like me, who fail many times. Because many times we are probably gripped by the fear of men, the opinions of people, the approval of men, or even the narratives of this materialistic world. We are afraid. You know. So what can we do when we fail? Well, a few things I think we can apply. One is to take comfort and run to the man who truly fears God. And who is that other than our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? You know, for the scripture tells us the man who truly fears God is Jesus. He grew up in wisdom, which is a fear of the Lord, and in statues and in favor of God and men. And even when he began his public ministry, the Holy Spirit descend upon him. And we know from Isaiah, this Spirit is a spirit of wisdom. And Isaiah also tells us this Spirit is a spirit of the fear of the Lord. And we run to him because we know that he loved us and he died on the cross for our fear of men and our cowardice. But he rose again, and we have put our faith in him. And when we do that, the scripture also tells us in the New Testament that he gave us the same spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. So with the same spirit, we can also learn to live a life that fear God. Yeah. So my second point is, therefore, because we have the Spirit with us, we can pray for grace and strength to fear him, to learn to fear him. Thirdly, and then we can learn to fear God by taking his word seriously. I think that's what Psalm 1-8 is about. And how can we do so? Well, a few things that we can do. In our personal devotion, yeah, we can take time to read God's word. And don't just read. As you read, you always have to ask this question: how can I see your world, God, from your perspective? How can I see my work today with a nasty boss, with a politicking colleagues, with school bullies? How can I see your world through your eyes? Second, I think we can also have a family devotion. I'm so sorry. It's too big. Okay, family devotion. Well, we can use suitable materials to lead our family for family devotions. We can use, go through the shorter catechism with our children, read through books of the Bible with them. I just finished a book of Proverbs with my children during the month of June that we read through in our devotion for Proverbs. You can go to Ecclesiastes, you can read through the Gospel with them. And you'll be surprised that some of them, when they grow older, some of these words remain in them and become their courage to face this world. You know, so I know of a family who regularly does devotion as a family. And at one point, when she was 6 years old, she found her left ear was not hearing. So she came home and told the parents, and says, "Dad, mom, my left ear is not hearing anything." The dad, mom was like, "Are you sure?" They said, "Yeah, how do you know?" He said, "When I was in class in K2 or K1 or K2, I say when we were putting on the earphone, I couldn't hear from one side." Then she said, "Oh, really? Serious?" So they went to check out, you know, and lo and behold, it was true. And it was most likely because when this child was still about 4 to 5 weeks old, she had a kidney infection, you know, and therefore she was administered with antibiotics for 1 year every day. And some of us know that some of the side effects of these antibiotics on the baby will be causing hearing loss. And it's probably the case for this girl. So when the mom went and brought her for the checkup, she found out that she really had a hearing loss and the nerves was actually dead. Not even malfunction, it's actually dead. You know, so she couldn't hear. The mom was so sad, she was crying. And the girl did not cry, but she was sad, but she didn't cry and she didn't say anything. So that night when they go home, after praying together at night and reading the Bible, was on the bed, they switch off the light, you talk to this girl and ask her, "How do you feel after finding out the result of your ear, that your ear will not hear anymore?" And this is what the girl says. She says, she told her mom, she quietly told her mom and says, "I know that the never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love of God will follow me all the way." And she was actually quoting from this devotional material that the parents read with her a few months ago. And she remembered word for word what it means. And she called it back to her parents and gave her parents the courage. This is my daughter when she was 6 years old. So, the third thing we can do is going to continue, besides personal devotion, family devotion, we should join the church life, you know, your cell group, your fellowship group, your service, faithfully to be encouraged and to encourage by the word. Because you must remember, the fear of the Lord is this, having this loving encounter with God through His word, because you delight in His word and you begin to see the world, His world, from His perspective, from His lens. And therefore, you are confident to walk this path because you know you'll be blessed when you follow Him. This is the secret to a strong and successful godly family. We are still learning. Everyone of us here are still learning. So continue to press on and take confidence in the Word of God because it has great effects. The last two verses tell us this. The effect of a strong and successful godly family. You take a look at the last two verses. It says here, they begin to see prosperity all the days of your life. You have a lasting effect. And you will see this from generation to generation. You see your children and your children's children. It paints here a wonderful picture of passing on your faith from generation to generation. So the real prosperity I put here is seeing the lasting effect of our faith being passed on, or passed down from generation to generation. Yeah, this is one true blessedness, to see prosperity not in the material sense, but spiritual prosperity. This rich faith passed from us to our children and to our children's children. But that's not all, because the last verse, last part of this psalm, it says, "Peace be upon Israel." Such blessedness in a family seems to have a greater effect, actually, to the whole bigger family of God, which is the nation of Israel. They begin to experience peace. You know, just like we were saying at the beginning, that the church is made up of small units of families and individuals. So when some of these small units begin to learn to fear God more, the whole church, the bigger family of God, actually becomes stronger. So I put here, this such blessedness in a family will make the greater family of God, the church, stronger. You know, and they will experience peace. By peace, doesn't mean that there's no trouble. It doesn't mean that to have this inner tranquility or problem-free. Because you take a look at the next psalm, immediately just a cursor look at it. Psalms 129 begin saying that the Zion will face persecution. And verse 5 says, the people will hate Zion because we are not of this world. So by peace, it is not just having being problem-free or having this inner tranquility. But by peace, I think it really means the family of God will experience this bond of peace, living in unity and harmony, which is a greater testimony for Christ, for God. So I show you pictures that look something like this. Or the greater effect of a blessed family, the God-fearing family, to have an effect on the bigger family, the church, or our Lord Jesus Christ, then these will have a greater effect on PCS, Presbyterian Church of Singapore. And of course, then the whole watching world will look at us and know that God has sent His Son. According to John 17, He says, when we are living as one, the watching world will know that you have sent the Son. The secret to a successful and strong godly family is when the head of family demonstrates the fear of the Lord and the whole family follows by taking God's word seriously. And by fear of God, it really means that we encounter, having loving encounter and personal encounter with God through His Word, because we delight in it. And we begin to see God's Word from God's perspective, and therefore we are confident that we will be blessed when we follow Him. May PSPC grow and disciple many God-fearing individuals and families that will have a godly effect on the whole entire church, will be exemplary to PCS, and then a great testimony for our Lord Jesus Christ to the watching world. Amen.